Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I'm your host, Vincent Truewell. My very special guest tonight is Star Vance, a professional hypnotherapist and a absolutely fascinating individual. Welcome to The Weird Part, Star.
Thank you very much. It's very true. I'm a hypnotherapist and an amazing individual. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me on your podcast. This is awesome.
And I have to tell the folks listening that I have experienced Star's work. I was fortunate enough to go to Strange Realities in Nashville last weekend? We're getting on.
It was
2 weeks ago.
Fourth. I think it was
yes.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we're pushing 2 weeks. Yeah. Man, time has flown. And I got to experience her group hypnotic experience with 30 other people, give or take, in the room. And I can describe that. It was fascinating. And then I have had a one-on-one session with her that was extremely intense. And I can absolutely say that she is the real deal and that she does everything she says she does. And I've personally experienced it, and it was really something. I can't give her enough credit, and I cannot recommend her highly enough. So I guess we'll kind of start there, Star. How did you get to be a professional hypnotherapist? What can you tell our listeners about your practice and about the training that went into getting those skills?
Well, I was at a point in my life where I just wanted to build a career. Well, I wanted to do more with what I was, doing. I think I was 23 at the time, 22 maybe. And I was just delivering pizzas, and I liked it. It was fine, but I could very easily see myself just falling into that for years and not growing in any way. And I'm all about, self-growth, self-development. So there was just a point in my life where I was like, okay, what is something that I could do? I've always been a very spiritual person. I've never really followed the path that's been set out for me. I like my own path. So I was either deciding between becoming a mushroom farmer, because I think mushrooms are so cool, or something else, something less labor intensive. So there were three things that happened in C-section, all around the same time, when I was thinking about what I wanted to do. And one was, I remembered, this was either a dream or something that happened in real life. I was very young, 3 or 4, and I was speaking to a hypnotist, and he was saying, people get hypnotized in two different ways. One, they're either hypnotized directly with direct language, or indirectly with softer, more suggestive language. And that's stuck with me throughout my whole life. I would think about it every now and then, but I never really had any context for it. So I remembered that either dream or real life experience. The second thing, someone I really, really idolize, someone who's very wise to me, she interviewed her hypnotherapist, and I was like, oh, hypnotherapy, that's so interesting. And the video was so, I mean, it was fascinating. And I was, she spoke about how her experience under hypnosis and how it felt and what she was able to accomplish under hypnosis. And I was just like, that sounds amazing. I want to try that. I want to do that. But that was just just a video that I watched. And then I was looking through one of the many books that I have, and it was one of the books that I started but didn't finish, which is basically all of them. And I was just skimming through. I think I was looking at the back of the book, or somewhere in the book, not in the middle. And I saw the word, and then I took him out of the hypnotic state. And I was like, wait, what? He was hypnotized? What's going on? So I looked back and I saw that this person was a hypnotherapist, and she was talking about things that could happen under hypnosis, amongst other things. I just found it interesting that that showed up at that moment, because I had always meant to continue this book, and I continued it when I was thinking, like, when these other two things about hypnosis happened, and when I was at this crossroads in my life. So I was like, all right, I hear you, universe. So I looked it up, and I found this school called HMI, the Hypnotic Motivational Institute. It's the first accredited hypnotherapy college in the US, in the world. And so they give you like a crash course, I guess, before you really commit. And one of the very first things that they taught you was people get hypnotized in one of two ways, either directly or indirectly. And I was like, whoa. Wait, I knew that. It just kind of clicked for me in that moment. It really clicked. And yeah, I was like, you know what? I feel very called to this. I feel drawn to this. I want to do this. So I didn't really do that much research. I'm a very impulsive person. So I just kind of went for it, and it was one of the best impulses I've ever done. It was 13 months. It was the most transformative 13 months of my life because we were all practicing on each other. So it was kind of like every class was like it was like a hypnotherapy session. And the more that we did it, the better we got. And the better we got, the more value would come from, the classes. So it was really truly impactful for me. And I don't know. I'm just so glad that I can share, like, I was good enough to like share with my classmates and eventually the clients, because it really is a transformative and very eye-opening and relaxing experience.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people have wild misperceptions of what hypnosis is and the different kinds. And what can you explain? Like, when I was a young guy, I went to a stage hypnosis thing, and it was for entertainment only. And, they're making people do funny things. And that's not at all what you do, is it?
Not even close.
It's may I say it's somewhat similar to the difference between stage magic, where people are pulling rabbits out of hats, and real magic, where people are actually doing magical workings. It's that different. That,
Thank you.
I mean, that's an analogy. It's not like you're not doing a magical working per se, but it's that different. One's
Yes.
just kind of like a performance. And the other, what you do, is some deep spiritual, psychological work that goes on with a person and is very, very different. I mean, I guess I ask you the question, but I kind of elaborated it myself. But when I have had experiences with you, I never felt that you were controlling me. But I did feel that you were leading me, that you were guiding me into a certain place. And that place was very important. And it was very deep. And it was like intense. And when I was there in Nashville, there's 30 other people in the room, easy. And I did not feel present in that room with 30 other people. I was aware of my own body, like my breathing and my posture and stuff, but I was having the equivalent of a deep dream. Not the trivial dreams we have every day, but those handful of dreams that maybe you have once a year or every several years that really tell you something. I was having that. And I was completely unaware of anybody else doing anything else around me. And that was really something. And that's what you do. And it really works, you know. What would you
Thank
say?
you.
Go ahead. No, please go ahead.
I will say I at HMI they taught us Capsonian hypnosis. There are different types, like different modalities of hypnosis. I was taught Capsonian. That one is very like you said, controlling in a way. When you see like stage hypnosis, when you see people like, oh, bark like a dog, and they're doing it, 9 times out of 10, they're not faking it. And that's because like every hypnotherapist has his or her style of hypnotherapy, and some is, you know, controlling, and some are guiding. And some are even like less than that. Some are even like, well, what do you see? Like some are even more guided by the listener, the client. And I think they all are good and important, and then they all have their place because some people, if you feel like have you ever heard someone's, well, I've heard this a lot, like, oh, I don't get hypnotized, like that, I can't, that's not me. They probably have just come across the wrong style of hypnosis. Because let me just close the book on this discussion now. Everyone can get hypnotized. Everyone is hypnotized in one way or another. So that I just kind of wanted to say something about that. There are different
Oh,
types
I
of.
completely agree with you and believe that and sometimes those who don't know they're hypnotized are hypnotized the most.
Yes.
There's, you know, methods of controlling your thought patterns without you, no pendulums needed, no, you know, breathing needed. But if I suggest all the ideas that form the framework of how you think the world works, then you're just as hypnotized as anybody else. And that's,
Absolutely.
you know, and that goes through the media, that goes through social media, that goes through TV, that goes through a lot of all forms of marketing. It's pervasive. It's universal, you might say, I would say.
I would say so too, definitely.
I guess, go ahead. I didn't, did you have something else at this moment?
I lost it, sorry.
No problems. I guess I wanted to clear one thing up because you do hypnotic regressions where you go back in a person's time. And I've had that with you, and it was intense. And I guess I just wanted to clear up that the human mind isn't like a DVD or like a streaming Netflix show where you can just go back to season 3, episode 6 and watch it. It doesn't work like that, does it?
That is an interesting that's an interesting point.
Because what I
I
felt I was, oh, go ahead.
No, please.
What I felt I was getting was true. It was very much true, but it was filtered through my own current mind. That, like, the images that I was seeing were from my own brain, because that's like the only library that, for lack of a better word, my soul had to draw from. That I could only see things that I had seen in this life. Now, maybe if you go deeper, you can get to a more specific truth. But like I couldn't go into my past life and like get a name or a born and died date or something like that. That wasn't available. But that wasn't, I didn't need that. You know what I mean? like, because I guess I just bring this up because hypnotic regression in not past lives, but like in the current world has a pretty bad rep for getting things like, oh, well, just ask him what the license plate was on the suspect's car.
Oh
And
yeah.
you are that it doesn't really work like that, does it?
Not exactly, no. No, I
Yeah.
would
And
say
so,
so.
well, I just want to draw out kind of a divide because people have the idea that you can just rewind somebody's memory. And often what comes out might be a false memory. But, you know, how much of a problem is that, and how do you avoid it?
I would say that it is not a problem at all in therapy. No, if you're trying to prove a case, hypnosis, they've actually like made this a law. Hypnosis is not like if someone is under hypnosis, they cannot be a witness. Or if they've been under hypnosis recently, they cannot be a witness. Because it's just it is unreliable. It is there's no it's not like a it's like you said, it's not like a video. And you have like it's the same scene every single time. It might be the same, like, what's the word? Maybe the same, like the same things happened, but like the words were changed around, the time of day was different, but the same feelings are there. So I would say that it's good for therapy and healing the heart and you know the person, but for like technicalities. Nah. No.
And that's precise, and you put that perfectly, because I felt that what I received was true. It was 100% truth, but it was the details were not that important. It wasn't a rewind. It was something more important than that, and something much deeper than that. And that it was for therapy. It wasn't for like some kind of total recall that you're not going to get. You're not going to get that in this life, let alone a past life. I mean, you're not going to remember that like that. You know, sometimes little children do, but you know, adults don't get that, you know, in my experience. But yeah, so thank you for clearing that up. That's very interesting.
Of course, of course. Thank you for asking.
Let me see. How would you compare the or contrast the hypnotic state to the dream state?
I love this question because I love dreams. I would say the hypnotic state, when you're extremely deep, is very, very, very close to a lucid dreaming state. I would also say that when you're falling asleep, you pass through the hypnotic state to get to sleep. Because they're just that close. I would say that they're slightly different. I think the only difference is your awareness. Because you can be extremely aware in a dream and you can be extremely unaware in a dream. But with hypnosis, it's a little bit more different because because I'm talking to you, you're going to be paying attention. Your mind might wander and that's normal, but it's just different from when you're paying attention in a dream and paying attention in the waking in your waking life. It's very distinct and I'm not sure if I'm saying it exactly
No.
correctly, but
Well, having had the encounters with you, I fully get it. Hopefully, the audience gets something out of that. But I was seeing the things that you were saying, just like I was having a deep dream, but I was not asleep. You know, no, I was very much awake and could make choices and stuff, and
Can I ask
had,
you something, Vincent?
yes, please.
You've had lucid dreams before, yes.
Well, as it happens, sometimes yes.
Sometimes,
I
yes.
well, I'll give you I have no problem talking about this at all. I have severe PTSD, and I take a medication to control nightmares. I used to have nightmares so bad that I was afraid to go to sleep. Okay,
I
which is a
see.
bad situation to be in. And this medication, I don't have that problem. But I do go through these periods where I do lucid dream, and I can almost every day. And I can just recognize, no, that's not happening. I'm having a dream. And it only lasts for a certain amount of time, but kind of the going to sleep and waking up times, the kind of in between times. But yes, as far as like intentional lucid dreaming that some people practice, no, I've never really done that.
No, okay. So the dreams that you're like, no, that's not, this is a dream. I'm dreaming.
And I can change what's happening just by making a change because I know it's a dream.
By just by thinking about it. Would you say that, how do I ask this? Give me just a second. Let me figure out
No
how to
problems.
ask this.
I can say that while I was under hypnosis, I never felt I didn't have a choice. I
Okay.
chose to do what you were asking, but I never felt I was dragged anywhere.
Okay, that's
In
good.
fact, it took my intent, it took an act of will to do. At some point, you step into a tree. People that were there will know what I'm talking about. And it's like I had to choose to do that. I felt like I could have chosen not to do it and said, no, I'm going to wake up now or something. But I chose to follow you because I felt you were guiding me. And that's what it was like for me.
Okay, that's good for me to know. Thank you. That feels good to hear.
Yeah. I never felt like I was being manipulated. That was not how it went at all. It's like you were beckoning, you need to come this way. But I didn't have to, you know? And I was glad that I did. And I got a lot out of it. But yes.
That means that you are an indirect, you prefer indirect hypnosis, or like you're more easily hypnotized by indirect suggestions rather than direct commands. Like I was saying before, with the different hypnosis styles, some people feel like they have no choice and they just have to do it. Even under hypnotherapy and not like stage hypnosis. And I think it's all about just how you say, and yeah, your style, how you do it, and your tone of voice. So I've always been pretty soft-spoken. I like saying, "Why don't you do this?" instead of "do this," you know.
And that put me at ease because if you had been more domineering or more commanding, I might have resisted that. And I might not have been able to get into that trance state. That might have scared me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially if somebody's, you know, ordering you to do things, that would have freaked me out, you know,
Yeah.
and I would have pulled away. And you were just inviting, and I was accepting that invitation. And that really worked.
That's perfect. That's how I like to do it.
Cool. Cool.
That's how I enjoy. That's the intention I have. Like an invitation. And then a follow through, and then amazing things happen.
And then a spirit guide that's a upright walking cat shows up. I
Gotta say, you
digress.
have the most interesting spirit guides. Is it all right if I talk a little bit about it?
Feel free. Yes. You know.
I think you told me at the convention, your spirit guide was a seahorse with bat wings. I've never heard that
Yes,
before.
yes.
That's
You
awesome.
suggested that an animal will appear, climb on it, and we're going to take a ride. And this giant seahorse with bat wings appeared in front of me. And I saddled up, I climbed on, I grabbed the wings, and was flying, and I was not scared at all. It was not a scary creature, and we were flying very fast through a forest, which I could totally experience. It was like it was really there. Okay, it was like a deep dream, like I was really dreaming, and no fear at all. None of it was scary. It was very, very calm, just really peaceful, but very exciting, to be honest.
Perfect. Good. That's very
And
good.
yeah, I took a lot from that. And when we get to the cabin, I mean, is there anything I shouldn't give away?
No, it's different
Okay.
every time.
Okay, so you get to the cabin and you meet yourself. And I met myself. And we talked about some stuff. But it was like my more fully formed self. It was like my best self, you might say. And he didn't yell at me. He is me. But he just kind of was like, you could do better, okay, in this area, in this area. You know what you're doing. You know what you need to fix, man. Come on. And it was so different than being talked down to by an authority figure, because it was literally me. And that was great. And I have made changes in my life in the last literally, what, week and a half, that have been more than I've accomplished in months, a year. It's been a big deal.
Vincent, that is all I want to hear as a
It
hypnotherapist. That's
really,
amazing.
and it's I at least see the steps I need to take to get to where I want to be. And that's been profound for me.
Oh, well, thank you. And you gotta give yourself credit for actually doing the work and taking the steps to accomplish that.
Oh,
Because
I very much want to be there.
a lot of another misconception about hypnosis is some people have the idea that, oh, okay, well, you'll just hypnotize me to do the things that I need to do, and I don't really have to put in any effort. I'll just be hypnotized to do that. And it's not quite that. Well, hypnosis can help you break habits. It's not a magic wand, It's not ding, you're exactly the person you want to be without doing any work. You still have to
Quitting
do
smoking is one of the things I've always heard is hypnosis is really good
Yes.
at. Change, you have to actually want that change
You have to want
and
the change and you
not
have to
just
be
push the button,
willing. You have to want the change and you have to be willing to do to like take the steps necessary to change. And hypnosis can make those steps a lot easier. Hypnosis can make those steps a lot clearer because sometimes you don't really you know what you need to do, but sometimes you need a conversation with yourself to make it a little bit more clear.
Absolutely. Just to shift gear, well, okay, this is a podcast devoted to the paranormal. So without naming any names or, violating anybody's confidentiality, just in very general terms, have you had any weird things come out during sessions?
The weirdest experience I've had with hypnosis have been when I'm under hypnosis. Excuse me.
Do you do self-hypnosis or do you have somebody else guide you?
Both. I do like I do self-hypnosis, which is, very impactful. But also with like my classmates, my peers, and my hypnotherapist. That's some interesting. I can tell you a little bit about it. I like twitch. Like I have strange spasms, and I looked it up. Apparently, when you're going in, it's common when you're going into the meditative state as well for your body to just move. And like a lot of people will be like, Star, were you dancing? Why are you moving so much? There was one time I was being practiced on with an arm raising induction where they make your arm raise without you without you know you meaning to, and I hate it. I don't like that induction, but it works. And I really looked like I was fighting it every step of the way, but my arm eventually raised. And this was like I guess within the first 2 months when I was still like, deciding and like figuring it out and like realizing and first experiencing hypnosis. And they were never really able to make my arm raise, but this one young lady did, and my arm was fighting her the whole time, but it raised, and it looked strange. I'll just say that.
That's fascinating. And I'm not, making any speculation here, and I'm certainly not insulting anybody's religion, but do you have any experience at all in the Pentecostal church?
I don't.
Because I do. And there's a certain state where people have been singing, and like the music's been playing for an hour. And people start to make strange movements and get slain in the spirit and fall out and get, in the phrase, no offense to anyone, but get the Holy Ghost and start moving around in ways that are unusual. And I just wonder if that's a similar trance state because it's kind of induced, by, repetitive singing and singing and singing, and the music's really going, and everybody's vibing the same way. And I'm just speculating there might be a connection
I bet you
somewhere
there
in the
is.
mind, you know?
I bet you there is because repetition is extremely hypnotic. Music can be very cute. Everyone's had an amazing experience when they're listening to music. Music is clearly hypnotic, impactful. And then also a group setting is very hypnotic because your mind or a part of there's an area of your mind that just doesn't want to break the status quo, doesn't want to act out and be too different from the crowd. So if a crowd is going one way, you are more likely to go that same way. It's going to take a conscious decision to be like, actually, I don't want to do that and go the other way. It's going to take a conscious and not a conscious decision that it's, not hypnotized. So if there was a big crowd in the scenario, then it was definitely a form of hypnotic induction, although their own style, their own light of it.
Oh, yes. No, they're going to feel it. They're going to interpret the experience completely differently, but it may still be at its core the same experience. Just to shift gears, what is your dream life like?
My dream life has always been very active, very. I always feel like my dreams are trying to tell me something. And I'm always paying attention to my dreams. I'm always interested in my dreams. I have a lot of dreams. And they're usually quite vivid. But I will say the most impactful dreams that I have are the ones where there's no sight, where it's just sound.
Oh.
I think that's a unique thing to me because I'm not a very visual person. I'm a very auditory person though. And so I'll have dreams where or I hear music and I know that I'm laying in my bed and it's just darkness, or like maybe I can see like a night sky, or something similar to that. But it'll just be like just the most beautiful music, and I wish I could, copy it down somewhere and like recreate it because it's just so amazing. Or someone will be, I've had multiple dreams where someone will be saying something to me, And it feels so much, it depends on like the day, but it can either feel like love, or like it could feel very urgent. It could feel like, oh, I'm just talking to my friend Star. I the ones where I pay the most attention are the ones where it starts off with just we're just talking. And then the lucid dreams I've had, it usually what captures my attention is a sound. Or a sound or someone's speaking. So
Did you practice to do lucid dreaming, or is it just kind of it naturally occurs sometimes?
I did practice, and then I wasn't very good at it. So I
Nice.
stopped. But I think recently, like in the past year, I was able to astral project, and I've had two lucid dreams in the past year. And they were very impactful. And then my not my lucid dreams, my regular dreams, they've just been more,
Oh
like
yes, no,
boom in your face.
I get you. There's a real difference between the common dream that you just, stuff that you saw on TV or stuff that happened in day-to-day life. And then there's the deep dream that really, means something. And those tend to be pretty limited in number, Well, probably for some of us more than others, but yes. But there's a real night and day difference, and you can tell, I would say.
Absolutely. I had a excuse me. I had a normal, a common dream recently this month, after the conference, where I think something interesting happened because it was a normal dream. I was with people that I know walking to their house, and it was a group of people. There was bug exterminators, but no bugs. And then we all looked over to the right, and I saw a big a huge flash of light, and then the dream just ends there. And then and I dreamt more. I know I dreamt more. But when I was waking up, we were all in a building, and we were being it was like a we were at like a, in a middle floor of a huge like 300-foot building, and we were in, it was like a classroom setting, and we were all looking at a screen. I looked sitting at desks, very much like a classroom, and they were clearly like trying to get us to learn something. I felt like it was a little insidious, a little not a little insidious. But I
Not
was
totally
able to,
consensual.
perfect. But I didn't see what they were trying to teach us, but I know that between me looking at that screen and that big flash of light, I know more stuff happened, and I think I was made to forget it. And that was sometime last week. I just wanted to share that because
Oh,
I've been
no,
thinking about that for a while.
that's fascinating.
I've heard like people's dreams, where they think that they've been made to forget something. But I've never experienced it, or if I have, it's never been that obvious, because it was clearly obvious because I was already paying attention to the dream. I was already like, okay, I'm here, I'm looking. We look at the light, and then nothing. No.
It what and what you're describing sounds so much like similar to the so-called alien abduction experience. And
Really?
I say so-called because I don't know where they're from. I don't know what they're aliens. I don't know what, I don't pretend to know. But people have had that experience right to the point of being taken to a different location, being made to watch something on a screen. And then made to forget it, but she'll remember it when the time is right, is something that they get told. And I mean,
Really?
oh yes, that's happened to at
Wow.
least thousands of people. Now, often the person having that experience feels that they're physically taken out of their house by aliens and put on a spaceship and taken to the place where they see the screen. But other people just feel they're taken out of their bodies, which may be even more disturbing. And, but they're given a message and then they're made to forget that message, but you'll remember it when the time is right. That has been an ongoing phenomena. And that's very interesting that you would say that. Wow.
Doesn't that that's
I don't have any
wow.
answers, but I'm just saying that other people have literally told me about something almost just like that. Yes.
Wow.
And that.
That's so interesting that I would have that dream like this past week and then I come onto your podcast. That's whoa.
Well,
My mind's a little blown right now.
some of the people that were at that conference have had that experience. And here we are talking about it. Yes. I was going to ask you about that later, but then it kind of inserted itself into the conversation then. Yeah. And it always feels, I don't say always, everybody's got a, there's an unlimited number of experiences, but it frequently feels, like you said, insidious. Like it's something kind of done to you rather than with you. Like we're not asking, hey, would you like to take a ride with us? We're like, come here, human. We got something to tell you. Okay. And this is important. Okay. So listen to what I'm saying and now forget about it, but you'll remember it later when the time is right. That's an ongoing phenomena. And then you were sure that you were having a dream, that this was not actually, this was not happening to you in the physical world while you're awake.
Well, I'm so glad you phrased it like that because I feel I don't think I truly think it was a dream. However, I do. Well, let's get weird here for a second.
You're at
I
the weird
do.
part.
We're at the weird part. I do feel as though reality can shift in a way that does not make sense. And in order for it to make sense, it will remember it. Oh, that was just a dream. I think,
Maybe a
yeah,
screen memory?
a say again.
A screen memory?
A screen. Oh, like a fake memory?
A memory that makes a difficult truth easier to accept by telling you a story that you can't accept.
Maybe like that, but also I was thinking, like maybe something happened and it was really horrible and it's something that you did not want to happen. I think that our subconscious mind has the power to be like, oh, she didn't want that. Let's just undo this and let's make it as a dream and then that never happened. And she's like, and she'll wake up and it's the beginning of the day again. Like I truly believe that happens.
Oh, yes.
I don't really have nightmares, luckily, knock on wood. But if I do, it's usually a car accident. And I feel like here's the weird part. I feel like I made a pact with whenever I came to Earth. I feel like I made a pact with whoever helped me come to Earth that I would never get into a car accident. And then when I do dream about it, like I never move in my sleep. I never move in my sleep. But when those dreams happen, I'm grabbing the wheel and stomping on the brake, like bracing for it to happen. And then I'll wake up. And
Ah.
I feel like something is like stops it because it'll be so very like I will be there. Like I'll remember how I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm driving. I know this street. I know this road. I can even hear like what I'm listening to on my radio. Like it's so very real. And so it's in order to like avoid things that don't necessarily need to happen. I think it'll shift and become a dream, and then we'll just start that day over or something like that. Like I really, this is weird, but I really believe that.
No, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm a person that doesn't need much convincing about the possibility of like a metaverse, a multiverse, where there's other realities that are like right next to us in a like fifth dimensional sense or whatever, and we sometimes wander into those and then wander back, and they're so close that they're almost like our reality, but a couple tiny things are
Just
different.
slightly different.
Yes, I've had some experiences like that myself,
Oh,
and
really?
that, oh yes, that doesn't, if you don't mind, I can digress and tell you one.
I'm so curious.
This was a couple of years ago. It was right before COVID, and I broke a tooth, and I was in pain, but I wasn't, you know, this is the end of the world type pain. But it hurt a good deal, and I get my health care through the VA. So my wife drove me to the VA hospital, and my son went along. He was in his late teens at that point, and they dropped me off at the VA hospital because there's no point in sitting around in the waiting room, you know. And so they went to Walmart. When they picked me up, they had some questions because they saw me at Walmart. And I'm like, well, I haven't left the VA hospital. Plus, Walmart's like 10 miles away. How would I be there? I'm here. I've been here. You dropped me off. You're picking me up. You can't have seen me. You can have seen a guy that looked like me, but you can't see me because I was here the whole time. And neither was accusatory, but both were very confused. And my son was the more vocal, and he was like, yeah, but he was dressed like you too, Dad. And it's like, he was dressed like me? Really? And I said, okay. Well, did you talk to him? And he said, no, because he was with his other family. He was there with his wife and kids that were not us. And I was like, what? And I said, okay.
Whoa.
So this guy looked like me, he dressed like me. But what about his voice? And that's when my son got real kind of like a little disturbed. He said, he did talk, but he talked just like you. And it's like, okay, man, just you know, calm down. I haven't left the VA. I was not at Walmart. I don't have a different wife and different kids. That didn't happen. But it was a very bizarre experience, a
That's
doppelganger
very
experience.
interesting.
And yes, and even and my wife was like, that guy looked exactly like you. He didn't just look kind of like you, like he had a shaved head and you know, goatee and tattoo. He looked exactly like you. Okay. And we really thought it was you, but it didn't make any sense because we knew where you were. And I wondered if maybe I wandered over into a different reality and
Maybe you
then wandered
did.
back, you know.
Maybe that Walmart is
It's
like
a
a
nexus.
wormhole.
Yes. There's a what do you call that? Yes, the hole that people enter in Walmart. Yes. Maybe they wandered into the other reality and ran into an alternative me that could have happened but didn't. You
That's
know.
more likely.
Yes. I didn't go anywhere. I remember being treated by a dentist and stuff, but it was just like, wow, what the
So
hell was that?
interesting,
Yes. That's one of the
man.
weirdest things that's ever happened to me. Is just bizarre. The portal was in Walmart. Yeah. Good Lord. It's a pretty easy segue, but what are your views on reincarnation?
Well, they're real.
Oh, absolutely.
My views are they're completely real. I don't think we as humans know everything about it. I feel like it's probably we're probably like maybe going on the right track to towards understanding it really, but we don't really understand it. And I think that's okay. I think yeah, personally, and this is just based on my own intuition. I feel like we choose to come to Earth. And then if there are, we do have a karma to deal with. But I also feel like it's dealing with that karma is also a choice. I don't think we're stuck here until we fix it. That feels a little, that just doesn't feel like the universe I know. It feels like, that feels like an earth, like an egoic thought. Yeah, I think we come to earth to heal, and to better ourselves and to learn and to experience. I don't think it's supposed to be a punishment or like a disciplinary thing.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And that's why, while I 100% believe in reincarnation, I don't believe it's like a scorekeeping system. And I don't believe it's like you're supposed to try to get out of having more lives. I don't want to like achieve nirvana and cease to exist. I'm pretty cool with existing. I just want to come back and have more adventures and do good things. But, I agree. I believe that we do make a choice to be here. And I don't pretend to know how it works, how the function works, where we go in between lives.
I don't know that we need to know.
And it's probably not something we're allowed to know, really. I've never heard a really good explanation that I said, yeah, that's it. I just know these things happen, and that a lot of times very young children who talk early talk about their past life, but then it kind of disappears. And their past life, though, it's not like you die on December 31st and you reincarnate on January 1st. There's some time in
There's
between,
time. Yeah.
and that may have something to do with time being an illusion. It may have something, which I'm not a big fan of really, but it may have something to do with spending some time in a different dimension outside of time, and then you come back. And people have suggested that you don't have to necessarily come back sequentially, that
Yeah, you don't.
you could come back to a future life.
Yep.
And if I, without monopolizing things too much, can mention one intense dream that I've had
Please
recently.
do.
This was about a year and a half ago, give or take, and it was so intense that I had to get up in the night and text myself the details of the dream just so I'd remember it. And I was me. Well, okay, I wasn't the me you're talking to.
Okay.
I was a different guy in a different life.
The guy
It was in the future. It was
Walmart? Okay.
forward in the future.
Your
And
soul.
yes, I was
Okay.
the same soul, but I was in a different body, and I w had a different family, and I lived in New York City, and I lived in a skyscraper apartment. And this, for lack of a better word, alien appeared to me, and it didn't look like anything that you would think of as an alien. It looked ridiculous. It looked like something Dr. Seuss would draw, okay? And it was kind of glowing. And I called it the glow worm. And it was like as big as a human being or larger. And it looked absurd, It was like literally like something Dr. Seuss would draw in one of those children's books. And it was telling me stuff which, yeah, I don't have the details on. And I tried to talk to my wife, who wasn't my current wife, but was a different person. And she did not want to hear about the glow worm. Okay. And then the water came crashing in. And even though we were like 40 stories up in a skyscraper, we were suddenly underwater in New York City. And I'm struggling to get to the surface. And I get to the surface, and we're all okay. We're kind of treading water in the middle of New York City. And my first thought is this happening all over the world? Or is this just happening to us? And that's when I woke up. But the mass flooding of New York City, which I've never even been to, I didn't stop over at an airport one time, just totally blew my mind. that the climate change had happened and it had flooded and New York City's gone. New York City, they're just trying to save as many people as they can because it's now underwater. It's now under the ocean.
Wow.
And it was, yeah, it was scary, but it wasn't a nightmare. It was just a really intense dream. Yeah. And
Wow.
this alien's telling me about it for some reason, you know? So yeah, but it was enough for me to get up out of bed and get my phone and send a text to myself just to remember that, because it was a big dream, you know, it was
Yeah.
the large kind, you know? So
What
yeah,
I take
that.
from that dream is when something crazy goes down on Earth, like something monumental like that, that's when a lot of people are gonna have undeniable experiences with aliens because they can't really do anything about it at that point. This is what I'm getting from that dream, but that's very interesting.
Yes.
I
And I don't know, was it a warning? Was it a, you know, you better do whatever you can to stop climate change or all hell's going to break loose? Or I don't know what it was, you know? Why me? What am I supposed to do about it?
Why not you?
I guess. Yes. It was really something. And you're right. Glad you said that, because I hadn't thought of it that way. You know, they may be picking people and just giving you something, and hey, you know this is going to happen, better do something about it. That's a lot, you know.
Did it feel prophetic to you?
It did. It absolutely did. You know, and it sounds, you know, pretty egomaniacal to call myself a prophet. I didn't feel like that, but it did feel like it was a prophetic dream, and you should go do something with that. But I haven't been the greatest prophet, let me put it like that, you know. But that reminds me, for what it's worth, of my favorite book of the Bible, and I'm not a religious guy, but the book of Jonah, where Jonah is sent to warn the people of Nineveh, if they don't change their ways, they're going to be destroyed. And he doesn't want to do that because he doesn't like the people of Nineveh. He doesn't want to travel. He doesn't want to do any of that stuff, okay? And he ends up being swallowed by a whale and spat out, and that whole story. But the important thing was he was given a message and he had to carry that out, whether he really cared to or not. I'll leave that hanging there.
Oh, snap. Are you a modern day Jonah?
I hope it doesn't take a whale, okay?
It won't take a while. It'll take a seahorse with bat wings.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Just again, I gotta shift gears a little bit, but have you ever had any flat out paranormal experiences in your life?
Don't think so.
Hmm.
Only one memory comes to mind. I was 14. I was lying in my bed in my childhood home, which was a place that had pretty dark energy. And I was not asleep, but definitely not totally awake either. Just lying in bed. And I don't know. I forget why, but I turn over to the side and I open my eyes and I just see like a shadow being
Oh, wow.
with like bright orange eyes. So orange that it almost looked red, and I couldn't tell if it was red or orange, and that freaked me out. Instead of,
Yeah.
the being there, it was like, is that red or orange? I can't tell. So like I grabbed my phone, which was like on my like next to my pillow, to take a picture of it. But when I looked away, it was gone, obviously. So I was like, oh snap, well, no, there's no need to take a picture. But that next morning
I'm just
I looked through
impressed by the
my
fact you have the presence of mind to think about taking a picture. Because most people that see anything weird, it never occurs to them. But
Uh-oh.
you're, you know,
I have a reason for that.
Go ahead,
I have
please.
two reasons for that. Why I'm not so I'm not why it doesn't scare me right away. But I'll finish the story and then tell you
Yes,
that.
please.
But when I look at my phone, I thought I didn't take the picture, but there was a picture of just like darkness just there. So I don't know if that counts. That always stuck with me.
Yeah, I'd say that counts. Wow. Then did you fall back to sleep immediately?
No, I was like, oh snap.
Because
I
sometimes
was
that
a little
happens.
nervous. I didn't fall asleep immediately. I was a little nervous, but I did eventually be like, okay, I think I'm safe. I think I rationalized it as those eyes were orange. It probably was nice. And then I just like... I feel like I am not as jumpy or like quick to fear in those specific situations, because when I was like 6 or 7, I saw, I was awake, I was trying to go to sleep, I was awake, couldn't sleep. I saw a like a bright purple spider that was like pretty big, like maybe like I guess the size of a cantaloupe. I
Oh my
saw a
God.
spider, but it
Right away,
wasn't.
that's like, oh man. Go ahead.
It wasn't real. It was clearly in my imagination, and I could, it was like an imaginary friend, but just, it was scaring me. And I was like, oh my God, please go away. You're scaring me. And then it did. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Wow.
And ever since then, I've liked spiders because, that one spider was cool. And then the second reason is I had sleep paralysis one time. I saw like a big, tall being like at the edge of my bed. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so afraid. And I like reached for my ankle and I like screamed. I was like, no, don't do it. And it was like, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. And it kind of like leaned back again. I was like, what are you doing here? I was like, I don't know why I'm here, and I'll go. It was
At
very
this point,
awkward. It was very human.
you can't move your body.
Yeah, I cannot move my body. I can barely breathe. My eyes are clearly closed, but I can still see my room. I don't know if you've probably had sleep paralysis, but
I have a story about that, but I'll get there once you finish yours. Was it a human being?
I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was the Slender Man.
Oh
Except
my God.
he was very square, like a Minecraft version of the Slender Man.
Wow.
There's a actual actually in Minecraft there's a character called the Enderman based on the Slender Man, but it was not an Enderman. It was like, the Slender Man, just very boxy. And I don't know. Yeah, it was that. I don't think I had known about the Slender Man at that point in my life. But it was him.
But and he was benign.
It was benign. It was
Wow.
awkward.
Wow, that is really interesting.
It was very human. And that's why I don't really get scared when I have sleep paralysis or
Do you
when
have that
something.
periodically or?
Occasionally, just when I have strange sleeping patterns, I do, but or like when I sleep on the other side of the bed, but not very often.
Wow, that is fascinating. And I'm digressing a little bit, but one of the best, okay, bear with me
Tell
for what
me,
it's worth.
tell me.
This was just a dream, okay? But it was a really wonderful dream. The whole Slender Man incident, you know what I'm talking about?
With the two girls that
Yes.
killed their friend, yeah.
No, she didn't die. She was stabbed quite a few times, but she lived and she's okay today.
Oh, good.
One of them, I believe, has been released from the mental hospital. The other's still there for a while. As you know, I've been an attorney, and I had a dream where I wasn't me. I was John Constantine from the movie Constantine, which I love the movie Constantine. I like Constantine so much I almost became Catholic, and then they kind of talked me down and said, hey, it's really not like that, okay? Anyway, I for some reason had this gun and killed Slender Man and dragged his like 9 foot tall corpse to the federal courthouse and said, yes, I'd like to appeal for the immediate release of the girl who did that. Everything she said was true. Here it is. And there's this like 9 foot tall albino guy in a suit. Yeah. Just, that
I
wasn't
like
a
that
deep
train.
dream. That was just a
I
funny
like
dream,
that
but
train. That's good.
it was
That's
interesting. My experience with sleep paralysis is the most benign, mundane, medical like style sleep paralysis ever, and I only had it once.
Do tell.
I messed up my circadian rhythm to hell and back. I was working a lot of hours, and sometimes I worked day shift, followed by a second shift, then maybe third shift and a day shift. And I was just sleeping whenever I could. And so I was all scrambled. And I was sleeping at about like 7:30 p.m. because I had to go to work at 11. And then I wake up and I'm in my bedroom with the lights on. And I've had many experiences in that house that were scary, particularly the person climbing in bed with you and there's nobody there experience, which I'd had at least 100 times. And the being watched, but there's nobody there, experience. This wasn't like that. This wasn't scary at all. I opened my eyes and I realized I couldn't move any of my body. But it just came to mind, your brain is woken up, but your body's still asleep. You're okay. Just go back to bed. But you wake up in a little bit. And so I did. And that was it. There were no entities. Thank God, none of that other crazy stuff happened. It just kind of that happened. And I really couldn't move, but it wasn't scary. There was nothing
Good.
going on. And
I'm glad.
yes, thank God
Can
I
I
don't, you know.
ask, was this
Yes, please.
before or after you started taking that medication for your PTSD?
Oh, it was well before. Well
Before?
before.
Okay.
Yeah,
Interesting.
fortunately, that doesn't have that as a side effect. This was just a very physical, down to earth. You've screwed up your mind and your body aren't connecting right this minute, but they will in a little while, you know. But there was nobody else there but me, you know. No impressions like that.
I do
And
want to
that,
say,
what's that?
yes. I just want to add, when you are in sleep paralysis, that's an excellent time to try to lucid dream, because your mind is already kind of like connected to your body, which is asleep, and it's like, oh, we're sleeping, but your conscious mind is still active, so you can kind of watch yourself fall into a dream. That's happened to me lots of several times.
Wow.
So just a little bit of advice.
Yes. Let's see. So, again, let's just shift gears, cover a little ground here. So I can take it that you have not had any cryptid encounters.
I don't think so. I don't believe so.
I
But
have only
if
had
I do,
one.
I'll tell you right away.
Oh, yes, please. I've only had one, and that didn't happen until I was well into my 40s. So it may be in your future, but I did once see a cryptid, and fortunately, my wife was there and saw it too, because otherwise, I thought I was just losing my mind. But we saw two different things, or at least we interpreted them differently. And she saw Bigfoot, which she described as being much like the baboon character in the current version of Planet of the Apes. And I saw a big mutant bear, but not the kind of bear that exists in nature, and certainly not in that area. And we only saw it for about 5 minutes, and it was running away. It wasn't scary because it was running away
Five
from us.
minutes?
No, I'm sorry, 5 seconds, 5 seconds.
Oh, okay.
5 minutes, we would have taken some film or something. But yeah, no. We saw it for about 5 seconds, and it was running away from us, and it was at least 100 yards away. So it wasn't frightening at all, but it looked completely like a flesh and blood animal. And it's trying to hop up this very steep hill. And I looked right at it. I saw it. And I'm from the rural environment. I know what animals look like. I've been a hunter. I've been on farms and stuff. And I have racked my brain for any possible thing that this could be. And I got nothing.
Really?
Yeah. At the same time, I don't, that area is too populated for there to be some undiscovered creature that lives in a cave up there or something. People have been farming there for centuries, and that was before the Native Americans were there. I mean, it wouldn't be possible for that thing to exist. But at that minute, it existed. It totally existed. And it wasn't like a projection. It wasn't a spirit or something. It looked like a very physical animal. And it wasn't trying to communicate with us. Like, I didn't get any messages or anything like that. I did get a vibe that, oh crap, they can see me. I gotta get out of here. And like, we weren't supposed to be able to see it because it came just running, just hauling ass out of a cornfield. That area is very steep hills in western Wisconsin. And often they plant crops on the lower part of the hill, but you get too steep and the tractors and combines and stuff can't go up there. So you have some open space. And then the top of the hill will have woods. And that's where it was going. It was going out of the cornfield and into the woods. And it lasted maybe 5 seconds. But we did both clearly see it at the same time.
Was it
And
daytime?
yes, it was totally daytime. And
Interesting.
yeah, it was at not only, I've only, that happened once. And I don't know, I have no idea what that was. And why we saw that, and we're on a one lane road where we had like vehicles behind us. We couldn't pull over, and it's a very narrow road, and you've got like it's carved out of stone, so you've got mountain on one side, drop off on the other side, and one lane. You can't really stop and investigate,
Right,
but
I
we did
see.
see it, and we saw it simultaneously. And then it was gone. It got into the woods and we didn't see it anymore.
Wow.
So yeah,
Wow.
it was very, it's, and that was a solo experience for me. I never have, seen anything like that before or since. Now, you're the guest. I'm not supposed to be doing all the talking here, but
Sorry.
I've felt that since I was a kid, I have had a limited number of experiences, like fairly small. Like a handful. But I felt like my intense fear, I was always very afraid of seeing something I shouldn't see. And I was very, growing up as a child, I was terrified of looking out the window at night. I never looked out the window at night. Because if I saw something looking back, I was going to lose my mind. You know what I mean? So I felt like my own mind has probably prevented me from seeing some things that otherwise I would have seen. So I was just not able to handle that. Even
I think
seeing
you're
Bigfoot,
absolutely right.
you
I
know?
think that's a real thing that happens where you think you're not allowed to do something, and even though it's entirely possible to you, you won't do it, or you won't experience it just because you think you shouldn't.
Yes, and it's kind of a defense mechanism, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think that's why I saw a bear and she saw a Bigfoot. Because maybe I couldn't handle seeing Bigfoot. And sometimes people have had Bigfoot-like experiences with bears in a place where bears don't live, And this is not a habitat for bears. In fact, bears are so rare that when a black bear got loose there the next year, it made the news. And the DNR, Department of Natural Resources, came and tranquilized him and took him back to his habitat. And that black bear would have been like a fourth of the size of what I was seeing.
Oh, so it
And
was big.
it was the size of a small car. Yes, it was
Oh my God.
enormous. And it was multicolored in ways that bears aren't really. They can be different colors, but they tend to be
One
one or two colors.
solid.
Not
Yeah.
like, yeah, you know, it was very strange.
Wow.
Something I saw once. So that happened, yes.
Wow. That's so interesting.
It's a weird one, you know. Now, you haven't seen cryptids, but are there cryptids in the Nashville area around where you live?
I actually wouldn't know much about that. I'm sorry.
No, it's no problems. We cover all the bases here, you know.
I do know that there's a cave in Tennessee that's haunted, and you can take tours through it. But
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
yes.
several people from the conference went to the Bellwitch Cave.
Oh.
I didn't go because I had to catch a flight early the next morning. But yeah, they had a guided cave tour. And that Bell
Oh.
Witch thing is off the chain because it's when you say witch, it's way more than that. There's ghosts and there's spirits and there's things that happen, and it's a multi-generational story that's really fascinating.
Jinkies.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
it's really something. Oh man.
I
Let's
do want to
see.
say, I did see, I think I saw two UFOs this year.
Oh wow, okay.
I can tell you
Please.
about it.
I would love absolutely.
So I was driving from Lebanon to Nashville going to work, and I'm jamming out some of my music, and I just see like lights in the sky. It's dark at this point because it's wintertime. And it's like slightly cloudy. I can see a couple of stars, but it's mostly just dark. And I see like lights make a triangle, a small triangle, and I think, that's a weird plane. I wonder, is that plane is flying pretty close, and usually there's more lights. Like, so I look at it even more, and I'm just waiting for, these lights to take the shape of a plane, and they don't, and I'm like,
What am I seeing here? Exactly. Yes.
what
Yes. And they just float along. Yeah.
Sorry, I forget that no one can see my face.
No, it's fine.
Very, very expressive in my face, and not very in my voice. But I see the lights, and I'm like, I think I'm just waiting for it to turn, and it doesn't. And I'm waiting for it to like move in the sky, that for it to make sense at how like with how fast I'm going. If that makes sense.
Oh, yes.
Like I'm expecting to pass it, but I never pass it, and I'm traveling pretty far to get to work,
Is it
and
pacing you?
it's almost like, I guess you could say that it's almost like it's just found one spot in my vision, and it's staying in that spot. Even though it looks like it's supposed to be moving. And I get pretty far. I get from, like, this might not mean anything to like the listener, but I get from all the way to Lebanon to Hermitage, and it's still in the same spot. Like I should have passed it by now. That's at least 15 miles. And I'm convinced that it's a UFO. And so I call my friend who's very into, aliens and UFOs and stuff, and I'm like, Renee, something. I'm looking at a UFO. And so I finally like drive past some trees, and like it the trees block it a little bit, and it turns like the it finally changes. Like I'm just waiting for it to change, but it doesn't change into like what I expected to turn into. It changes into like a traditional looking like cliche flying saucer.
Oh, wow.
And I call her, and like I
So
saw it,
it's
and
literally like a metal looking disc with.
it's like a disc with a little dome at the top. Very,
What we'd think of as
very,
1950s flying saucer.
Yes, very much
Wow.
that. Whoa, Vincent. Sorry, I just got a memory from like a when
No,
I was
please.
five or so. It's I might have seen three UFOs in my life.
Feel
Anyway,
free.
oh man, I haven't. Wow, sorry, I just got that memory.
No, feel
Yeah,
free to share. Absolutely.
I think I saw one when I was really young, and I think I might have walked up to it, not knowing what it was. And then it kind of just stops there.
It's kind of, and that would be like the vintage
Yeah, it
silver
looks,
disc
it's
dome.
very, in my memory, it's very cartoony. It's very like, metal, and like it's got like the metal lines that show like the panels, and it's got like glowing green like lights around the outside and then the dome, and it's very
Wow.
large and like lands. I man, wow.
Would have thought
Sorry.
you come on here and have an experience about
Yeah, I did.
that.
I really, wow. I'm gonna have to write
So,
about that later.
yes, I'm dying to hear more about that one.
I mean, that's basically it. Like, I'm just very young, and I see the like I see something outside, and I think I'm already outside, and I just walk up to it, and
So
I'm
it's like
like,
landed?
whoa, it's landed. It's pretty small, but it's landed, and I'm like, whoa, and I yeah, it kind of just ends there. So maybe they borrowed me for a second, but
And without trying to prod you too much, but is it landed on landing gear? Is there a stairway? Is there?
yeah, it's like little legs came out, and like it's just sitting on like three little legs, three metal legs.
Wow. And that is the super classic UFO picture that often people don't see anymore. You know, they saw it in the 60s and 70s, and then it changes over time into being different things like the black triangles. The black triangles, I'm sorry, they're stealth bombers. That's what they are. But anyway, I'm dismissing a whole bunch of people's experience, but no. But that's the classic flying saucer era UFO. Wow.
Wow.
And that's, you say you saw that this year as well?
Yeah, yes. I think they're slightly different. This one look the one now looks less cartoony. But it's still like a clearly a like a flying saucer. And it passes through some trees, and like it finally turns into a plane. And I really believe that like maybe Earth has like a veil, and like all these cryptid and alien sightings, like we're not supposed to, like the veil keeps us from seeing the real deal, but like sometimes it's like it slips a little bit and we see the real deal, and it's like, oh, and then the veil is like, oh snap, the human saw reveal, and it turns into what we normally see, like a plane or a weird bear.
Oh, I absolutely believe that. I devote a little time talking about that maybe who's ever really in charge of this whole situation, whomsoever that may be, had to put a veil over things like that so that science could develop. Because if we're seeing leprechauns all the time and dwarves and fairies and, angels and demons, and in any tradition, we couldn't really do science. Because if we, there was an essay I read a long time ago that said that if you believe that every tree is sacred, then you can never really do
Could never cut
botany.
one down.
Yeah, exactly. And you could never really study them scientifically, because you'd be too concerned with the spirits and stuff. And maybe the veil went up so we could scientifically progress. But, and I take this pretty seriously, and I don't know if you've seen the movie Oppenheimer, but
I
which
saw
has
Barbie
nothing.
instead.
Touche. It has nothing to do with the paranormal, or does
Okay.
it? But
Oh.
it in the movie, no. But many people have suggested that when we launched that bomb, we blew a hole in the veil. And ever since then, things have been coming in, and the veil's thinner than it ever has been in a long time. And that's kind of what's behind all of this.
What
And
year did the bomb drop?
1945. Now, that's the
Okay.
test bomb. That's not when we hit. We hit Japan later, but we had
Yeah.
to make sure it worked first. So
Right.
we blew it up in New Mexico, and some people got killed, and other people got injured, and it was very dangerous. And there's a great part in that movie where Dr. Oppenheimer warns the general in charge of the project that there's a somewhat slightly more than zero chance we may set the atmosphere on fire and wipe out all life on Earth. And the general, who's been a pretty hard ass tough guy the whole movie, is like, what? Like, we might possibly end all life on Earth. He's like, well, it's a very small chance. But it's not zero. And I was like, I'd really prefer zero, you know? But we've invested all this money in it. We've put all push the button, and it blows this enormous bomb up. And that was the test; it worked. And then we dropped it on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and World War II, and that's all history. But there are a lot of people who say that that created a real problem with the veil, and a real problem with entities that are not human. Because if everybody, you, me, but also all of the other
The
non-human, and oh, yes, all of them too, but
normies.
also the non-human intelligences, the aliens, the angels, the fairies, the Bigfoot. If we're all energy, that possibly nuclear stuff may destroy them, may destroy all of us. And it may be so dangerous that that's why we've had this surge in paranormal activity. And we've had this consistent message of don't use nuclear weapons, don't test nuclear weapons, put the nuclear stuff away. Okay. And that's. That
Wow.
does make some sense to me. It really does.
Yeah, I never considered that humans could possibly hurt a cryptid or like an alien or even an angel. I'd never considered that.
And I don't think we could up until we got nukes. And then they all kind of like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Like, hold on.
Hey, they're not ready for this. Okay. Because I'm kind of a believer in. Kind of a believer. I'm not a believer in much. I tend to try to keep an open mind and just be kind of agnostic about a lot of stuff. But I kind of believe that the Earth is kept quarantined because we're so violent. There's this little island off of in the Indian Ocean. And do you know the one I'm talking about?
I think I do.
Nobody can go
Or we
there.
cannot, yeah, we can't access it because they're ready.
Everybody who arrives is killed instantly. Okay. The Indian Navy kind of circles it to keep people away because the people that live on that island, we don't know anything about them because they killed everybody who ever showed up. They killed a missionary within the last 2 years. They killed some shipwrecked sailors. They kill everybody who shows up. I think that's the way other civilizations here and
View
elsewhere
us.
may view us, yes.
Dang.
And
You know
they
what?
now they got nukes.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
Yes. That's
That
why
makes me a
we've
little sad, but like, yeah, I can see it.
it is, but I do have the hope that eventually the world's people, humanity, can get it together. And I know the local news isn't going to reflect that tonight, okay? But maybe 100 years in the future, we could get it together and we could have a world without war. I don't think that's just a pipe dream. I think that's something that could happen.
I agree.
And thank you. Nobody ever does.
Really?
Oh,
No?
let me tell you, that's the least popular opinion in the room any given time. Yes.
Dang.
Because I go ahead.
I don't even think that it's a possibility. I think it's going to happen. Like, I think we're headed that direction, and I don't think we're gonna steer clear. I don't think we're gonna veer off.
I
I
agree.
really
I
think
actually wrote
it's
a novel about this.
oh.
Cosmic Collision is the name of the novel. It's self-published on Amazon because the publishing industry is terrible. But anyway, it presents a future and it's utopian fiction. It's not dystopian. It's we can get it together. Now it involves a huge civil war between religious fundamentalists and extreme atheists. And you'll find they're more similar than different. And it involves a guy who is like a messiah in our time. And time travelers from the future are sent to kill him, and it's a log. It's a novel. But ultimately, it reflects my belief that I look at the United States. And the United States has any number of problems. But I live in Wisconsin. We're not going to have an all-out war with Illinois. Okay? I don't particularly, no offense to any of my friends in Illinois, but we're rival states, you know what I mean? And yet there's no scenario where the Army of Wisconsin attacks the Army of Illinois. That's not going to happen. And the Civil War that happened once, and then it never came close to happening again. And that's, I could digress into 100 other topics. But what if we had a United States of Earth and all the countries were like the states of the United States? And, I feel that that would be an
Wait, so
improvement.
sorry
Go ahead.
to see it in my head. So, like, all the countries are like the United States, and then the individual countries are the states. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
The US would be a state. Mexico would be a state.
Gotcha.
England would be a state. Saudi Arabia would be a state. They'd all be states within the United States of Earth. And you can dislike each other all you want, but you can't fight each other. And you have to adhere to minimum standards of human rights and stuff. And I think that could happen sometime in the future. It's not going to be the day after tomorrow, but I think it could happen. And I think it's the only thing that would ultimately save us as a species. And I think it's the only way we're going to deal with things like global warming and nuclear war. And if I get a little deep, I think that blueprint was created by Masons when they wrote the Constitution. Now, they had many things they were totally wrong about, but I think the blueprint was there for a United States of Earth. I prefer that term to one world government because everybody freaks out and it's going to be a nightmare. It doesn't have to be a nightmare, it could be a good thing. And
Yeah, just like sleep paralysis isn't always horrifying. Maybe there's a possibility where like a one world government is actually a good thing.
absolutely. And I part of me is perhaps biased because I participated in something with the United Nations, and it wasn't terrible. Did I just get louder, like a lot?
You did a little bit.
That's weird. Okay. Anyway, what we did in Somalia was a huge multinational effort. And you had all kinds of countries, including countries that didn't necessarily care for each other, working together to help some people that are in a very bad situation. And it was mostly a success. And, that tells me that we can do stuff like that if we care to. And if we as the human race get it together, why does it make sense that this invisible line, it's America here, it's Mexico over there, it's America here, it's Canada over there? Well, there's no real line. It matters about as much as the state line between Wisconsin and Illinois. It's just something we agree exists, but it doesn't really have to be
Not
there, you know?
really there, yeah.
Yes, it's just something we agree on. And we could do better. And I think at some point in the future, we will, you know. Man, did we get far afield here.
We sure did.
But hey, that's how the weird part goes. And
I thought it was
it
all fascinating,
thank
very
you.
insightful.
Thank you. And same here. An absolutely wonderful guest. I have one more question and then something to do. Do you have any connection or experience with folk magic?
Well, I don't say I would have much, maybe like a very, very, very novice experience with it. But I like to, I like to do candle magic sometimes. I've done one love spell. Would not recommend. Would not recommend.
Don't recommend it. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a, I'm
and
not going to put you on the spot with that one. We'll just let
I'll tell you
that
all about it. No. No, it just I used yarn. I used pink and orange yarn and candles, and it definitely drew someone in, but the relationship was not it was it wasn't it was very eye-opening, and I grew from it so much, and it was a good thing in the end, but the relationship was very fast, very intense, and left us both really hurting.
Kind of a careful what you wish for type of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Because you might get it, but you might not. Yeah, I get
Yeah,
you.
I wasn't clear. Like, I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know exactly. I didn't know what I was looking for. And the things that I wanted, I got. The things that I wrote down, I got, because I also wrote down exactly what I wanted on a piece of paper, tied it up with string, and like burned it. I think I like poured pink and like I poured candle wax on it. And yeah, it came through. It came true a month later.
Wow.
So I got yeah. I wrote some stuff down and I got that, but I didn't write down what was good for a good relationship, if you know what I'm saying. I was a lot younger though.
Yeah. No. It makes sense. But it's amazing that you did get a reaction. You definitely got
It's
a result.
I 100% believe in it. I have not done like extensive research, but I feel like there's too many instances of it happening and like of people using magic for me to be like, nah, it's not real.
Oh, I don't take it lightly at all. Now, I
I
don't
think
do it, but I don't take it lightly. You know what I mean?
okay, good, good.
The way I look at it, and it's funny because 10 years ago, I knew two witches, and they were elderly Wiccans. Now, half my friends do some sort of magical practice, and I have to keep track of who's into what, And I'm just really uneasy about dealing with any entities that I have to summon. And kind of like, it's kind of like being a lawyer. I don't want to represent mafia guys that are going to kill me if I lose the case. You know what I mean? I want to be real careful who I'm dealing with
You're
and
right.
know who I'm dealing with. And a lot of entities either aren't honest about who they are or are not the sort of person I'd like to deal with, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And yeah, so I tend to err on the side of caution
Yeah.
and not really mess with that. I like tarot.
Smart. Smart. I have never summoned, I've never used or like asked for the help of an entity. I think the only thing I've done is like give offerings to like my who's like a spirit a goddess that I really resonated with, Kali Ma. She's amazing. I just would give offerings, but I wouldn't like ask for anything or like ask for her presence. I would just be like, here's this because I appreciate you.
If I
And
may,
that's about as far as I want to go.
yeah, no, I get you. What tradition does she come from?
Hinduism.
Okay, so it's the Kali that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, okay. Wow, yeah.
Yeah. With
Wow,
the many
that's
arms and the blue skin.
yes. I'm only chuckling because I once wrote a short story, fictional, about a guy who meets her embodiment and ends up serving her. And it's
I
just an
like where
interesting
this is
story.
going.
Yes, well, she's a now, this is, I mean, no insult by any means, but my understanding as this Westerner who doesn't pretend to know anything about Hinduism, she is a goddess of death, right?
She's a goddess of destruction and rebirth, fertility. And she has been known to, kill the egos of men. Death specifically, I'm not sure. I don't think it's death exactly, but she's not afraid to kill.
Yes.
But let me just give some disclaimers. I'm not super knowledgeable on it. I might have said something wrong. If I did, forgive me.
And
I'm also a Westerner. I also don't know much about it. I just think she's cool and
and ditto, I don't claim
I read a
to
couple, I read a little
understand,
bit
you
about
know.
her, so.
It was just a good story. But anyway, should we break for just a moment, and then do we have time for the demonstration?
Do you think we could do it Friday? Because it's a little late for me.
Okay.
Like,
No, that's perfectly fine. I guess we should probably wrap this up,
okay.
and then we'll discuss it once we close things out, eh?
Sounds perfect.
All right. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much, Star. I mean, this has been excellent. I can't tell you what a good podcast this has been. And I
Yes.
definitely look forward to having you back on as soon as possible. And
Absolutely. I thought this was so much fun. This was so interesting. This was way cooler than I thought it was going to be. No offense.
no, I appreciate it. Say, Daddy, you know, I never know how things are going to go. And this has been one for the books, man. This has been excellent.
Awesome.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners?
Hypnosis is good for you.
I can back that up 100%. As long as you have a good hypnotherapist like Star Vance. But anyway,
Right.
where can people find you?
You can actually find me on Facebook. I am called Vance Hypnotherapy on Facebook. I also have a YouTube channel, Vance Hypnotherapy. That's going to change pretty soon. I'm working on rebranding, but as of right now, it's Vance Hypnotherapy. You might be able to Google it and you'll see it on it might pop up for you. It might be like a little bit lower down, but you can Google it and you'll see my name. And yeah, you can also emailing is probably the best. I'm working on, getting better about that, but emailing vancehypnotherapy@gmail.com. I will respond to you as quick as possible. And yeah, we could talk a little bit and see if you'd like to do a session. And yeah, we can work that out.
Absolutely. And I encourage everybody listening to at least look into that. And remember, it's advanced hypnotherapy, not advanced hypnosis, or you get somebody else.
Yes. Yep.
Because I was Googling around trying to do this, and yeah, it's a difference. But yes,
Oh, it's a real
100%.
person? Oh, snap. I
His
better
name
rerun
happens,
quickly.
his first name happens to be Vance. It's that's why I'm
Coincidence.
Vincent Treewell,
Coincidence.
Anyway, thank you so much for visiting with us here, Star. And
It's been
folks at
my
home,
pleasure.
thanks for listening. This has been The Weird Part. I'm Vincent Treewell. Good night.